The Republican Party offers its vision of the economy from Marketplace. I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. A national party convention is an exercise in marketing, and Republicans portrayed this election as a choice between two very different economies. There were dire warnings about Joe Biden's economic policies and a promise that re-electing President Trump, equals prosperity, but few specifics. Here's Marketplace's Nova Sappho with more.
The first night of the Republican National Convention tore into Joe Biden's plans to raise taxes on corporations and the wealthy in order to pay for economic recovery. The Republican message was summed up by Nikki Haley, President Trump's former UN ambassador.
Joe Biden and the socialist left would be a disaster for our economy. But President Trump is leading a new era of opportunity. Before Communist China gave us the coronavirus, we were breaking economic records left and right.
And Trump can do it again, Haley said. Donald Trump Jr. repeated the claim, calling Biden's policies radical and saying they would hamper economic recovery from the pandemic. Those messages were leaning into a bright spot in the president's approval ratings, positive voter perception of his handling of the economy, especially among conservatives, and especially before the pandemic hit. I'm Nova Sappho for Marketplace.
For the millions of workers who suddenly went remote during the pandemic, the boundary between work and life has become more muddled than ever. A lot of folks are juggling jobs and kids at home. Without commutes, workers are actually logging more hours, multiple surveys show. Now, the Department of Labor has issued guidance reminding workers and their employers to accurately track those hours so workers get paid for their time. From the Workplace Culture Desk, Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino has more.
Omar Zaki has been working from home as a sales engineer in Atlanta for years. But with the pandemic, his 6 and 4-year-old are home too, and he's worried about potential job cuts at his company.
You're just on duty all the time.
He finds himself working longer, later hours, though some of them aren't as productive as he'd like since he and his wife tend to the kids during the day.
What is a work hour has become muddied for me and everybody that I work with.
Zaki is on salary, so he doesn't punch in on a time card. But for those who do get paid by the hour, how do they keep track? Jeffrey Ruzal is an employment law attorney in New York.
When working remotely, you don't necessarily have the checks and balances and the same protocols in place.
Because people aren't clocking in at the office or working a traditional 8-hour day, he says that could expose employers to lawsuits for unpaid work. That makes it all the more important to encourage employees to accurately report their hours, odd as they may be. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers this morning. The FTSE in London is up 0.3%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up in the 1-6% range, with the Dow future up 165 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 0.696%.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
CEOs of the U.S.'s largest companies are cautiously optimistic about the next 3 years. That's one takeaway from a survey of 100 CEOs by KPMG. 60% are more confident about their company's prospects now than they were at the beginning of the year. 1 in 4 do expect revenue to stagnate or fall, but the rest expect revenue to grow up to 5%. Paul Knopp is CEO and chair of KPMG and joins us to talk about it. Good morning.
Good morning, Sabri. How are you?
Good. I mean, the question is, how are U.S. CEOs? A majority of CEOs that you surveyed say they are more confident their company will be growing compared to the beginning of the year. What's behind that optimism?
CEOs have managed their economic cycles for many years now. You think about the global financial crisis and other economic cycles that we've faced into. So CEOs have prepared a lot of their organizations for being very resilient as they face the future. This is obviously an unprecedented time in our history, though. We have a health crisis, we have an economic crisis, and then we have a crisis around social justice, too. So, you know, it's while it's an unprecedented type of crisis, CEOs are facing into it with a lot of experience in dealing with these kinds of matters.
A majority of CEOs say they're going to downsize their office space, 68%. That sounds like we're in for a significant shift in what the workplace looks like.
I would think that we're going to have much more collaboration and teaming space in the future in commercial space. There is undoubtedly some pressure on commercial office space and offices as we move forward. But I really do think that a bit more time needs to pass here. It's going to be very much a hybrid model where we are working both in the office and virtually in the future. So I think there's a lot that remains unseen about how significant that impact will be on commercial office space moving forward.
77% of CEOs you surveyed said they need to reevaluate their corporate purpose as a result of COVID-19. What does that mean? That sounds dramatic.
So when you think about purpose, it's very much a stakeholder view. You're looking broadly at your impact on society in what you do and how your strategic actions within the business will impact all those different stakeholders. So when we think about purpose, and the study certainly reveals that CEOs are much more focused now on purpose, values, culture, employee engagement, that is very important for our future, and we are very focused on how we sustain strong cultures while we're working more remotely into the future.
Paul Knopp is CEO and chair of KPMG. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on your program today.
I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.